Unlike so many worlds that had been surveyed and settled by species from the core, Munalinst had given rise to its own brand of sentience. Farmers and fisherfolk, the ancient Munes hadn't known how favored their planet was until interstellar travel had become commonplace, and precious metals the backbone of the galactic economy. Had those early millennia of expansion not been a time of peace, the Munes might have lost what they had to military might. But as it happened, they had resisted all attempts at exploitation and become masters of their fate. Still, what was an economic blessing eventually became a burden. Once the Munes understood the value of what they had previously taken for granted, they held on to their riches with a ferocious tenacity and developed an almost agoraphobic attachment to their homeworld. In the midst of Munalinst's shallow oceans, the same volcanic activity that had fertilized the vast plains belched new seabed and precious metals enough to fuel the growth of empires. Mountains heaped up through vents in the planetary crust were found to be repositories of extraordinary wealth. Lapped by warm waters teeming with shellfish, tube worms, and bioluminescent flora, such smokers, as they were known, became both the source and the financial vaults of Munalinst's most powerful and prosperous clans. More remote than some, Abora, which had been the province of the Damask clan for several generations, was otherwise typical of the dormant smokers whose thickly forested conical peaks poked from the calm waters of the Western Sea. A maze of interconnected lava tubes ran deep into the mountain island. Waterfalls plunged from the sheer heights, and incense trees scented the salty air of the lowland valleys. Conveyed by speeder to Abora's North Tower complex, Plagueis escorted 114D on a tour of the corridors and caverns that constituted his place of sacrosanct solitude. Motioning to the many droids that were on hand to welcome the pair to Abora, Plagueis said, "You will come to find yourself at home here, as I have."
"I'm certain I will, Magister Damask,"
114D said, its photoreceptors registering a dozen different types of droids in a single glance. Memo droids, G&K power droids, even a prototype Ubrickian surgical droid. "In time we'll see to having your original appendages restored so that you can earn your keep."
"I look forward to it, Magister."
The tour began in the outermost rooms, which were appointed with furnishings and objects of art of the highest quality, gathered from all sectors of the galaxy. But Plagueis was neither as acquisitive as a Nymordian, nor as ostentatious as a Hutt. And so the ornamented chambers quickly gave way to data-gathering rooms crowded with audio-vid receivers and holonet projectors, and then to galleries filled to overflowing with ancient documents and tomes, recorded on media ranging from tree-trunk parchment through flimsoplast to storage crystal and holocron. The Munes were said to abhor literature, and to loathe keeping records of anything other than loan notices, actuarial tables, and legal writs, and yet Plagueis was guardian of one of the finest libraries to be found anywhere outside of Roa Sky or the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Here, neatly arranged and catalogued and stored in climate-controlled cases, was a collection of treatises and commentaries accumulated over centuries by the Sith and their often unwitting agents. Ancient histories of the Rakata and the Bajoon, texts devoted to the followers of Palawa, the Chaetos Academy, and the Order of Dai Bendu, archives that had once belonged to House Malro, annals of the sorcerers of Tund and of Queen Aminoa of Onderon, biological studies of the Isalamiri and Vornskers of Mirkur, and of the Tauzin of Vart. Certain long-lived species like the Wookiees, Hutts, Thaleen, and Toydarians were afforded galleries of their own.